Can you see me?
I got you. Looking beautiful as always.
It's a weird thing to say to a man, isn't it?
It is. It is. But you do. So it was deserving of it.
Arigato gozaimasu. All right. What's up? How you doing?
Good. And yourself?
I'm good. I had a really long breakfast with my son, Dylan, who is coming from Arizona State.
Ah.
He came to visit his mom and I for, you know, about a week. And then I drove up to Chico 2 days ago. God, what a long drive. I don't know. Where are you from?
We're in Southern California, Inland Empire.
Oh, sounds galactic. I went to Chico. My other son, they're twins. He goes to Chico State. And that's like a 2.5-3 hour drive up there. And we spent a couple hours. We went to, he's 19. I'm 60 plus years old. We went to Kung Fu Panda. Woohoo!
Jack Black.
Exactly. It was the weirdest thing, too. At the end of it, I go, oh, my God. Jack Black is covering Britney Spears' song. It's like, hit me, baby, one more time. I know. I go, some dude is doing Britney Spears. And my son, Jake, goes, that's Jack Black, Dad. And I go, okay, I guess that's okay. But when he kind of goes like this, he goes, oh, baby, baby. And I'm like, creepy. But if Jack was here, I'd go, awesome.
Yeah, great job. Well, yeah. Dude, let's get into it, man. Mr. Big, the big finish again, round two, leg two.
Come on, man. Give me a break. I mean, that first one was 2004. I mean, so this is like the second time we've farewell toured. But like, you got to remember something, man. I've been in this band for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I never quit. Never got fired. And yeah. Anyway, so I guess this is the second time, but the first time was a bad time. It was neck and neck, you know. I don't like the way you chew your food, you know, that kind of stupid shit. And too much time on the road, airplanes, buses. I mean, most people would kind of go, oh, musicians would go, oh, boo-hoo, what a hard life you've had.
Right.
Well, I mean, it became like a job.
Sure.
Like a routine, playing the same shit over and over again. Hey, Mr. Big, Billy Sheehan, Paul Gilbert, Pat Torpy, Richie Kotzen. Hey, and I'm the one who wants to be with you. It just kind of went rolling off my tongue going, oh, my God, I'm bored out of my mind. So that was the first one. And the second one, this one, it's time. And it's time. Now, I mean, I don't know about Paul Gilbert. I don't know what his mindset, if he wants to continue on the road all the time. He doesn't. Mm. Like, I remember when we got back together in 2009, I was all gung ho to, like, you know, like, let's take off where we left off in the 80s and 90s, where we make a record every year and then we tour and and constantly, and we make money this time, you know. And he was like, I don't want to, I just want to be with my family. Mm. And I'm like, ah, you're a pussy, how could you do that, you know. And then I really, you know, then I have a family, and I realized that I was gone quite a bit, and so maybe he has a point. And so what we did was we did an album, and then we toured like 3 months, maybe one time we did four. But it was like then 2 years later or a year and a half later, then we did something else. Mm-hmm. And it got boring, but it also kind of, you know, every time we got back together, nobody hated each other. Everybody was like, it was a bro love fest.
Right.
And that's how it is now. It's still, you know, it's been a bro love fest. I don't know if that's a word or not. I don't know.
I like it. I know what you mean.
I made it up, I guess, maybe put it like two bro and love together. But everybody loves each other. We're going out on top, if that's what people say. I don't know about Paul Gilbert, but I do know about myself. I don't want to tour like we're touring now. I mean, I'm okay with it because I've had a couple weeks break to just chill out, rest the larynx, have a couple beers, and just hang out with my family. And I'm raring to go, going to Europe, South America, doing the West Coast, USA. And I'm looking forward to it. But man, this is a long ass tour.
Yeah, a lot of
days. It started last year in Asia. And then I did some solo things where I went to Japan. And then I came home and sang the 10 songs or 11 songs that are on the new studio album. Yeah. And then we kind of mixed the live. We did another live at Budokan record. What a shock. It's called like Big Finish Live. And then there's another one that's coming out for Record Store Day called Big Finish Lean Into It Live. So it's the portion that we do, you know, where we play the Lean Into It album in the middle of our set. That in itself is a record that's coming out Record Store Day. I have no idea. I read it somewhere in our email. I was like, okay.
Interesting.
But I don't want to tour like this. I mean, we're touring all the way up to August 23rd, I think. And then right after that, I got other projects. But no more Mr. Big, no more Mr. Nice Guy, no more Mr. Big touring wise. I'm sure that we'll, you know, I got to tell you something that's just kind of funny, and I hope nobody in the band like freaks out about hearing it. But everybody was saying, hey, you know, we could still continue to make records. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that would be fun. Well, the record, it was hard to put together because of everybody's scheduling, but it came together pretty quickly. The thing that took the longest was that, I can't even speak. I can't cuss. It's not with Jesus on the cross right now. But the album cover.
Really?
Nobody could agree on it. It was ridiculous. I mean, our creative juices just like was poured out long time ago for any kind of artwork. And I was Paul Gilbert is kind of a cartoon artist. And I asked him, and I go, just draw pictures of us in cartoon form and we'll give it a name. We couldn't even think of a name. We couldn't think of it. Anyway, that took the longest. So hopefully we'll do another record, but I don't know. The album cover thing was like painful.
Well, I think you just stumbled upon your album title a little bit ago. What did we say? Dude Love?
Bro Love.
Bro Love. There we go.
Bro Love Fest. Yeah, nobody would like. Even if I.
The new album from Mr. Big, Bro Love. Come on, I could see it on a
Big,
billboard.
Mr. Big, Bro. Yeah, yeah. Hey, guys, what about Bro Love? And they go, yeah, that's stupid. I have this thing I was saying in the middle of our set. We play a song called My Kind of Woman that's on the Lean Into It album, but it was actually written in 1989. Me, Paul, and Billy was like one of the first songs we wrote together. Huh. I didn't realize it. And just yesterday, I read this interview that Paul said that My Kind of Woman music was an actual Eraser X song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Blasphemy. Anyway, I had a lyric in it. Before we even had a band name, I had a lyric, Magic to Burn. And I thought it was so cool. I mean, I'm kind of an old hippie. And I go, Magic to Burn, man, that would be a great name for a band. And Billy was like, yeah, that sucks. So Bro Love Fest would not make it.
You know, speaking of all this love and this going out and this final run, certainly Pat Torpy is a big part of the band's history and career. And I was hoping you could kind of tell a story or two to kind of humanize him. I mean, we all know him of his music and singing and playing and stuff, but tell a story to kind of give the listeners an idea of who Pat was.
He was an all-American boy. He, you know, me and Billy would knock down a couple beers or wine on the bus, and Paul would be listening to Brahms or Beethoven on the on his headphone in the corner. You know, like, I don't know. I used to call him a nerd, but he's a genius. He's a smart, really smart guy, you know. But Pat would be in his bunk listening to the L.A. Dodgers.
Oh, wow.
Like, we even play baseball when we get to come home off the road. And he had like a little club league where I think Ricky Phillips from Styx, Babies, mm-hmm. was in there. Dave Amato, I think, the guitar player from REO at the time. Maybe Chuck Wright from Quiet Riot. These are all friends of Pat's, but they'd all go out there in their like civilian kind of clothes. Not, you know what I mean? Just, you know, dressed down and not all dressed up, but Pat would come in like full on
uniform,
LA Dodger uniform and the brand new Rawlings glove and, you know, chewing big chew bubble gum and, you know, probably a little rosin behind his ear. I don't know what it was, but he was so into sports, but baseball was his full-on passion. I remember one time I met Tommy Lasorda, and he gave me an autograph, and Pat was so upset. That should have been me, you know. He could juggle.
Oh.
Yeah, backstage, he wasn't that great. You know, he'd go, hey, check this out. 2 oranges, 3 oranges, 5 oranges. You know, that kind of thing. It was funny. And he was kind of, he was double jointed. Mm. He could do these things, you know, like, you know, when people do that thing with their hand, he can put this hand right here and put his legs behind his legs.
Oh.
Do this thing. I mean, he was like, you know, JoJo the dog face boy. I don't know. He did like 100 push-ups before the show every time.
Wow.
He was the anchor of the band and sort of the referee and the confessional. You know, you go to him. I go, man, I got a problem, man. I don't like something that's going on. And, you know, singer. Oh, what a shock right there. Like, I like to complain about something. Oh, again? Step right up, you know? And I would be upset about something. And his thing, his mantra, not mantra, but this thing he'd always say, he'd go, Eric, don't rock the boat. I'm almost home. I haven't seen my wife in 3 months. And I could, it's drilled into my head. He was just a really good guy. Really, he was a handsome devil. All the fans loved Pat. I mean, they loved us too. And I'm approachable. And I was, you know, that's like one of my favorite parts. Actually, I play the gig and I can't wait to go say hello to the people, take some pictures, shake babies, and kiss hands and that stuff. But Pat, man, they would just come to him and just be all mellow. Like he, you know, they'd come to me and they were like all hyper and there. Where's Billy? You know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Pat, they were just all mellow and he was just, you know, gather around. I'll answer any of your questions. Very approachable person. Very nice guy. The only time he ever got like upset. Oh, he was so detailed with his drums too. I know you said other, you know, humanize him. And besides his drumming thing was his world, right? And the Dodgers, but, you know, first and foremost was his wife, Karen. I always wanted, like, I was in love a few, half a dozen times, but I, you know, always looked at Pat like, wow, man,
I guess he
knows what love's about or something. Like, he was so in love with his wife. And it just, you know, just had all this beautifulness coming off him. And that's what he'd always say to this. He didn't know what to say. He didn't talk that much on stage, obviously, right? But he'd get up on stage and he'd go, you're beautiful, man. Yeah. And it's just, I've been doing that lately. You're beautiful, man. You know, just kind of a weird, quirky thing. He's just a sweetheart guy. Really, I miss him terribly.
Nah. Well, thanks for sharing some words about him. And that's how we keep him alive, right? And keep his memory alive by continuing to talk about him.
I do. I keep that torch burning. I've written great songs with Pat as well. I miss him as a songwriter, a drummer, but I also I'm gonna miss him as a man. But like I miss singing with him. Mm. He was like Paul McCartney. Okay, look, I'm just not. We're not bigger than Jesus, kind of thing. This was like Paul McCartney, and I was the John Lennon. Our harmonies were just perfect. I mean, everybody can sing in the band, Billy and Paul, and even obviously when Richie was in the band, shit, he was amazing. But yeah, me and Richie had a Righteous Brothers thing, but me and Pat was just, he could, Richie's a lead singer.
Right.
When we sang background vocal thing, I was always background to him. He wasn't really good at, you know, I know I'm taking a detour to Richie Kotzen, but I remember this one time, Richie's first gig with us, I'm going, "Ooh, baby, baby, it's a wild world." And I go, "Well, you're supposed to sing a high harmony to that." And he'd be like, "It's a wild world." You know, doing his Mahalia Jackson. But the thing about Pat, he could follow me. Mm. You know, whatever I did, he followed me. And man, that's I miss that. But I think right now we got Nick DiVirgilio is our drummer now. Mm-hmm. And there's something about him that reminds me of Pat. Ah. I mean, not only he's a great drummer, very detailed and precise. And should I hit the snare drum first or the top? You know, he's that guy, just like Pat was. But he's a nice guy like Pat. Ah. He's approachable and a sweetheart. So that's good, too.
It's important. You know, speaking of songwriting and singing, my wife wouldn't let me get away without talking to you about, obviously, her favorite song, To Be With You, which I understand was your baby and the one that you had written way even before the band had started.
Even before your wife was born. I mean, I'm assuming that she's young.
Probably. Anyway. Tell me about writing that one. How old were you when you wrote that? And why not bring it in on the first album? Or did you?
Oh, damn. First of all, it started off kind of sweet. And it was like, and then, well, let me ask you another intense question. I didn't even, well, I'll tell you what happened. I wrote the nucleus of this song at 16 years old. It was about a woman that I really cared about named Patricia. She's kind of a gothic, Cleopatra looking beautiful woman back in the day. And I was just like hippie kid, wore the same thing every day, you know, jeans, a white long sleeve, long, like a long John shirt, you know what I mean? Like, those kind of shirts, a winter long John kind of shirt,
thermal
and desert shoes or dingo boots. And that was like, that was, like every photo in my mother's scrapbook was like, did I ever buy you any clothes? You know, but, and a hippie guy. And I fell in love with this beautiful woman who just wanted to be a friend. Right. And then over the years after that didn't work out, I just kind of kept singing this. I'm the one who wants to be with you. Waited on a line, that kind of stuff to impress my sister's girlfriends. And that's, you know, because I didn't have a gift of gab back then. I was not I wasn't the charmer that I think I am. And so the singing thing kind of helped me get through the dough. Mm-hmm. And door as a metaphor. So I had the song forever. And then I wrote it. I rewrote it with a guy named David Graham in 1987 or 88. Something like that. I went to, like, a publishing company hooked us up. My publishing company, Sony, hooked us up. David was, he was in a play, a musical called Beatlemania. And he was kind of Paul McCartney playing bass. And we finished the song, right? And we just put it was a cassette. I had a little blue gym bag that I just threw it in with the rest of the cassettes. I just listened to a song yesterday that we wrote too. We wrote two songs, To Be With You and a song called Captured by Kathy's Kiss. I just heard it. Yeah, it's like, dun, 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 Captured by Kathy's Kiss. You know, cute little fluffy song, but that was just thrown in the gym bag.
Wow.
When I got the phone call from Billy Sheehan and we started Mr. Big. I go, you know, who else do you have? And he goes, just you and me. I'm like, okay. But so when we find Paul Gilbert and Pat Torpey, I live with Paul a little bit in Hollywood, downtown, not downtown, but, you know, across the street from the what used to be the Holiday Inn. I don't know if that's still there. Mm. It's on down the street from Capitol Records, okay. You know, down in that okay. area. So I played Paul the song and he goes, oh, man, that's a beautiful song. It's like the Beatles. He goes, oh, that's cool. What do you want to eat? You know, it was like, and then they went right back in the bag. And then he played it. I think I played it for him again. And he had the cassette and he played it for Billy. And Billy went like, God damn, this is a great song. We should play this for Kevin Elson, our producer at the time. And Pat heard it. Pat was like, Beatles, I love this, you know. And it definitely had like, okay, it sounds Beatlesque the way it's played. And I'm the one who wants, but this is the Beatle part to me. He goes, like, all we are saying. It had John Lennon a little bit, you know. So played it for Kevin. Kevin absolutely loved it. Our manager, Herbie Herbert, who managed Journey, went, hit, it's a hit. But then it just kept being pushed aside because we had all these other songs.
Hmm.
The Lean Into It album, I had written another one called Just Take My Heart that was kind of formulaic pop rock song. And then we had that My Kind of Woman. We had another kind of hit song called Lucky This Time that we never played live. But anyway, long story short, To Be With You just kept pushed back. In the set or in the way it was on the, I was like, I don't know, where should we put this song? So we put it in the end and we were so smart to do that because there was another song. It was called Stop Messing Around that I loved. And I wrote it and it very Aerosmith sounding. And Pat was like, this sounds like Aerosmith. And I'm like, what's your point? Well, so what? Yeah. Come on. So what? And he goes, it just sounds a little Aerosmith and that's almost too current. And I'm like, ah, shit. And it didn't make it. And I go, I guess Kevin goes, well, good. Then we'll play Put To Be With You on the record. I'm like, okay.
So that's why it's the last track on the second record.
Hold on. Anyway, so.
Wow. So,
yeah, so that's why it's on the second record. Paul was like, I don't know if it fits. In the second record, I loved it, but I was like, I'm pushing for this other song. What an idiot. Anyway, but but Atlantic Records didn't see it.
Wow.
Didn't see the vision. They put out that song, Lucky This Time, maybe Alive and Kicking, had a video. There was about four songs that came out and they were going to drop us. And we were doing so well in Asia and in Europe. And yeah, I mean, and To Be With You was not in the set, but we went, our manager, Herbie Herbert went to New York and he kind of beat these guys up a little bit. I don't know what kind of, you know, blankets and beads that he sold them, but they were into it with it To Be With You. And they go, they did like some format in radio stations around the US and it was a smash or trash
okay.
kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, you play it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And people were calling it a smash, you know, so that spread like wildfire on the United States. But we didn't know about it in Europe. It was going up the charts. It was like number 10 and that kind of stuff. Look, rock and roll bands don't. Oh, let me get the new Variety, Hollywood right. Reporter,
Billboard.
And the magazine. Nobody gave a shit about that. It's like, where's Metal Edge? Anyway, but yeah, it became number one, 15 countries. Who would have thunk it?
Smash.
And that's your wife's favorite song.
Yeah. And when I told her I was talking to you, she was like, oh, my God, to be with you. Or I'm more like, ah, addicted to that Rush. Wind me up like the, you know, the heavier songs, you know. Yeah.
Call me. Yeah. So your mom, so your wife.
Yeah.
I love that song because her mother sang it to her in her crib, I'm sure.
Nah. I mean, she.
I couldn't. I'm not perfecting that joke right. I got to get that. I got to work on that joke a little bit because yeah, I was like, bah, bah. Anyway.
You know, in wrapping up here, what's your plans after Mr. Big? Do you have going back to Eric Martin Band solo, starting a new one? What are you gonna do?
Eric Martin
stand up career.
Oh man, I'm stand up career like a comedian.
Yeah.
No, I tried it. What's that guy? Oh God.
Hal Sparks?
The guy from that metal show.
Eddie Trunk? Jim Florentine. Don Jameson.
Don Jameson. Fuck, he'll kill me if I don't remember his name. But I did like some comedy show in Nashville with him. And they started, you know, doing musicians coming up and doing PJ Farley. PJ Farley from Trickster is a good friend of mine who plays with me in my solo stuff. He is a great comedian. I'm pretty good too on stage with a guitar or microphone and the singing thing and just bullshitting with the audience. But when you really get up there, you're naked. I was so nervous. My teeth were chattering like it was 50 below, you know?
Wow.
PJ was great, but no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to, immediately after Mr. Big tour ends, I go to Japan, and I did this thing years ago called the Tak Matsumoto Group, mm-hmm. TMG. And you got to check it out. We did one record, just TMG one, and it's me, Jack Blades, and it was Chris Frazier from the drummer for Foreigner.
Uh-huh.
And it was Tak Matsumoto who he plays in. He's the main guy for a band called Bees, B'Z. You never heard of him before. They're awesome. He's like the native son of Japan. Swear to God, 90 million records.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I mean, huge stadiums. Billy Sheehan actually played with him.
Wow.
I went on tour with these guys. Anyway, Tak Matsumoto Group, TMG. And that was 20 years ago. So it's kind of a reunion. We're doing a record kind of now. And then in September, just play Japan. Just sell out Budokans and everything. I mean, it's big. It's huge. So I'll do that. Try to hook up with my old, I'm in a rock opera called Avantasia. Been with for 8 years, 7 different rock and roll singer. I mean, like me, Jeff Tate from Queensryche.
Oh, wow.
Power rock German band. Power metal.
Uh-huh.
Metal. Come on, man. Like, I know what I'm talking about. You're kind of heavy metal. No, I'm not. I am, in a way, in Avantasia. I mean, we're playing Hellfest and Sonosphere and Vakken.
Oh, wow. You know? All the big ones.
Huge, and they're a headlining band. And the main guy is Tobias Sammet, okay. German, great singer. But it was like all these European superstar singers. And then, you know, the one American guy. And Adrienne Cowan, she's American too. But yeah, it's pretty heavy metal. That's Avantasia, hook up with them again. And then I did a project years ago called Mr. Vocalist in Japan. And it was kind of Michael Bublé kind of thing. Because I can. I can do that kind of stuff. Pretty easy. I mean, I started doing that kind of stuff. I'm an R&B singer from way back, you know. They go, oh, Erickson, will you cut your hair? No, not this time. Not this time. My first wife cut it, and it never grew back properly. Anyway, yeah. I was so this Mr. Vocalist thing, I'm going to do a Christmas tour with it. It, like I'm telling you, there's albums, there's tons of albums, like 4 or 5 albums and a box set, Christmas albums of this thing. It's called Mr. Vocalist. I know, totally pretentious. But when they go, we're going to call you Mr. Vocalist. I'm like, God, I mean, I'm Mr. Big and then Mr. Vocalist. That seems a little, you know, like I'm Mr. Vocalist, like I'm the guy. And that first record sold 300,000. Oh, and I'm like, you will refer to me as Mr. Vocalist.
So lots going on post Mr. Big.
Yeah. And then after that, everybody goes, well, you're probably going to retire. Here's me retiring. I'm not going to do the big, huge rock tours anymore. Obviously, Mr. Big, the Avantasia thing kind of winding down for me. I love being in it, but I don't fit. They bring me out to sing other people's songs. Like Toby did a duet with Klaus Meine. And, you know, I can emulate that. And he did another thing with somebody else, Jolynn Turner. And I go, I can probably do that. But, you know, I'm not a heavy metal guy.
Right.
Oh, I feel like I'm the token guy in that band. But long story short, when I do these Eric Martin acoustic shows, I do it with a guy named David Cottrell. He's a British guy. He plays in a rock band called Demon in the UK. So we call it Demon Dave and the Little Devil. And we just drive around a little car, stop for coffee, play these acoustic shows in these really, you know, it's the UK and parts of Europe, but mainly UK. And I mean, God, last time we went to Liverpool and I'm hanging out. It was the first time I went to did the Beatles tour. It's just what you would do on a retirement. You know, it's almost like a musician's vacation. We just kind of drive around, see the countryside and go, oh yeah, let's go play this bar and sing and then make some beer money and gas money. I mean,
perfect.
That's all I want to do next perfect. Year.
It was an honor to get to talk to you, sir. I've been a fan since the first album, and it was a blast talking to you, and best of luck with this final run, man.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.